The Minister for Arts, Culture and Media, Patrick O'Donovan, has said he wants to hear more from RTE about a series of pension payments. RTE has said that four of the payments are decades old and the others were made as part of early retirement packages in 2017 and 2021. The station's finances have been under the spotlight since the series of controversies that led to the departure of the then Director General, Dee Forbes, as well as several other senior managers and presenter Ryan Tubridy. RTE's annual report, which has just been published, shows that it recorded a surplus of €5.5 million last year, but was supported by €48 million in government funding. The Minister, Patrick O'Donovan, joins us now from our Leinster House studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rachel.
Let's start with these payments. You've said you want a full explanation. What is it that you need to know?
So this morning at the Cabinet, look, I presented the annual report and financial statement for RTE. And look, I want to, first of all, acknowledge the work of the Chief Financial Officer in preparing the reports and bringing to the attention of New Era and the government some legacy issues, because it's not that long ago that I asked RTE management and executives and board, was there any other issues other than those that are well enunciated in the public arena with regard to RTE that I and the government should be aware of? And in fairness, in the intervening period, the CFO, the Chief Financial Officer, has been going through in deep detail some of the issues that have she has encountered. And some of these relate to, for instance, pension payments around certain individuals of the organisation and widows of certain individuals at the organisations. It also relates to a piece of artwork that's at the organisation that for which the ownership is disputed. As well as that, there is an issue with regard to an acre of land on the Montrose campus, which now may have an impact on the future development of the campus, which was given in short-term use to Aircom in predated Air a while back. But now, obviously, the ownership of that is an issue. And there's also then as well some tax issues with regard to some personnel abroad. So, look, I want to, obviously, as the shareholder of the company, be able to stand full square behind the current management and executive, who I think are doing a very good job in the backdrop of what was a cataclysmic situation in RTE in terms of transformation. But the information that has come out now is contained in the annual report. I brought it to the Cabinet's attention today, and I hope to seek further information from the CFO, the Chair and the Director General once that they have received that information.
And what is it then that you need to know about these payments? Because four of them are relatively recent and have been described by RTE as income replacement payments for people who took early retirement.
Yeah, well, some of them will be fairly straightforward, but where there are issues with regard to, for instance, pension payments that are paid to survivors and widows, obviously, look, I need to know and satisfy myself as the shareholder that any payments that were made of that nature were done properly. And when I have not all of the information at the moment, and yet the annual report came to Cabinet today, and the reason, to be quite honest about it, I brought it to Cabinet today is because there's a lot of media reports around it, so I wanted to get it approved and published as soon as possible. But the report does say, and it goes into some level of detail around further work that the CFO is doing in respect of questions that I would have asked at the very early stages with regard to whether there are any other issues, legacy or current, that I should be aware of and that the government should be aware of. And these all predate, I must say, the current management, current board, current chairman and current director general. So they are legacy issues, but nonetheless, they are issues that need, I think, to be aired.
Just one final thought in relation to all of this. What do you know about this piece of art, which has been spoken about quite a bit over the last day or so, this piece of art with the uncertain ownership? Is it worth a lot of money?
I don't know a whole pile about it, Rachel, other than it's worth in the region of, I understand, and as I say, I'm not going to, this is what I've been told, in the region of 100,000. And obviously now the ownership of it is disputed. And again, the purchase and difficulties around this predate the current management and board of the company. and it's a legacy issue. And really, to be honest about it, when I became Minister for Communications, I was at pains to point out to the RTE management and board that I want to work with them, but that I want to make sure that if there are any outstanding issues, regardless of how old they are, that they're brought to my attention, and I can subsequently bring them to the attention of government. Because you're right with regard to the supports that have been given to RTE are substantial. Public funding is at about 222.3 million euros, up from 193 million in 2023. So it's a 29 million euro increase in public sector funding for RTE. And at the same time, we've seen the licence fee fall by 4 million. So look, we need to have a public service broadcaster. We can see that, the value of it with regard to some of the new initiatives that the company have done in the last number of months, including, for instance, Traitors, and their coverage of the Olympics and coverage of the Euros have come at a fair cost to them, but it's a public service initiative. They have to do it, and they cost a lot of money, and they need to be, you know, supported. And I'm using this opportunity again to ask people to buy their licence, but we do know that we have difficulties in that space, and we're mm-hmm. going to have to bottom out on it.
And just in relation to that, as you say, the report we're talking about today relates to last year, licence yeah. fee income down by 4 million euro. Has there been any recovery this year, do you know?
Well, look, it's a bit early to say that yet, because we're into the fourth quarter, but I'd hope to have information on that before the end of the year. But look, OnPost have done quite a bit of, around public awareness and about making people aware of the importance of having a television licence. But I think the best form of awareness that we can give is the importance of having a public sector broadcaster that we value as part of our democracy. This is something that we all have an obligation to pay for. And, you know, whether that's news coverage with regard to the hurricane in Jamaica or the presidential election in Ireland, or indeed the artwork in RTE, this is a public sector and a public service that needs to be funded, and people who own a television need to put their hand in their pocket and pay for the television licence. And there's, you know, I would encourage them to do so, because RTE is a valuable piece of national infrastructure. It is at the moment coming out of an awful turbulent period where the licence fee effectively collapsed thanks to the difficulties that were out there, but the new Director General and the board have set in place a transformation journey that will need support from government for a period of time, and that I will support. But I think the public have to play their part in this okay. as well, and I would encourage them to purchase their licence.
Talking of those turbulent times, the annual report also shows that in 2024, one severance payment cost the station €475,000. Does that strike you as very high?
It does, and the opportunity that I'll get to meet the chair of the board in the coming weeks, and we have a date set for that to meet the chairman, which is on the 6th of November, you know, only for the fact that there was so much information, some of which was accurate with regard to the RTE report. I would have preferred to have been in a situation where I would have been able to meet the chair before I took the report to cabinet today, but unfortunately, because of the amount of media reporting that was done in the last 2 days, I took the opportunity to bring the report and lay it before the Oireachtas.
Mm-hmm. So will you be asking RTE about that severance payment?
Absolutely, I will, yeah. And there's a couple of other issues that we've referred to there, whether it's in relation to the land and the opportunities that the land poses. You know, it is a very, very valuable site, notwithstanding the fact that there are listed buildings and everything else in it. That doesn't in any way diminish the fact that the Montrose site is an exceptionally valuable asset, and there are potential opportunities for the future development of that asset to support the company into the future.
Mm-hmm. Something else that RTE has promised you it will do is shed part of its workforce. How many people do you expect will leave the company by the end of the year?
Well, RTE's target is 100, and I would hope that they would live up to that, because over the period of time of the restructuring, it's up to 400. Now, obviously, the commencement of that scheme was delayed some bit with approval being sought from the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, but the commitment for this year is 100, and that's the figure that I hope that the board are in a position to report
to
me.
So you'd be disappointed if they don't get to the 100 this year?
Well, if they can't get to 100 this year, how are they going to get to 400 over the next couple of years? I mean, the reality is that the government came good with regard to the amount of money that we had to pony up to keep RTE afloat. If we didn't, we would be in a very different situation. I mean, and there's an awful lot of companies historically that didn't get that level of support because of an internal mismanagement of the company that allowed the licence fee to go into free fall. The government had no choice but to step in, as I said a while ago, with regard to all of the positive stuff that RTE do. But that support is not endless. And, you know, we did require structural reform. We did require change. We were told we were going to get it. And for that change, we've put forward the monies on behalf of the people. But that's not bottomless and it's not endless. So I would hope that and I would expect that RTE live up to their side of the bargain in respect of the agreement that's there with the government.
In the meantime, the controversy over how workers were misclassified as contractors continues. Now, I know that in the past you've expressed unhappiness with how RTE was handling this. What's your view now?
So I think in fairness to the new leadership of the company, there's an acceptance that this is something that has to be dealt with. And I'm satisfied at the moment that progress has been made in this. Look, there's a lot of legacy issues that the current director general and the current chairman inherited, you know, issues in relation to self-employment, art, land, pensions, you name it. Not to mention all of the type of accounts that were being run in the organisation, flip-flops and everything else. But they are doing their best. And they have my support. They have a trajectory to travel. There's no doubt about that. But they're providing an essential public service. But it's an essential public service that the DG has committed to me is going to change radically. And the government is committed to that change.
All right. Just one other question. The repercussions of the presidential election are still with us. They continue to be felt. Was Sean Kelly badly treated or shafted, as he would put it?
Everybody in the Fine Gael party had the opportunity to come forward to ask the Oireachtas members for their support with regard to being a nominee for the presidency of Ireland. This election wasn't bouncing us. We knew for the last 7 years it was coming. And, you know, Mairead McGuinness got out of the traps early and she canvassed a lot of people. And then, unfortunately, she had to step out of it due to her health. The Tánaiste could have exercised his prerogative, which was to impose a candidate upon us, but he didn't. He opened the nominations a second time round. Heather Humphreys came through that comfortably. And, like, that is in itself an election process. Election process have winners and losers, and naturally enough, you know, Sean is doing a great job for us as an MEP. He's, you know, currently representing Kerry, Ireland and Europe in Australia, and you know, I think that while obviously there'll be an opportunity for people to have their voices heard with regard to this, the reality is that there was two processes within Fine Gael. One that was clearly won by Mairead McGuinness, the second which was clearly won by Heather Humphreys, and I think we move on from that.
Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for Arts, Culture and Media. Thank you very much for being on the News at One this afternoon.